the rest of us can turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible, you are welcome to borrow one in front of you this morning. Luke chapter 24. And we are getting near the end and praying about what's next. And whatever it is, it'll be good because it's the Bible, right? And we'll enjoy that and do what we have to do. But Luke chapter 24 this morning, and we are going to be starting in verse 13 this morning. The title of the title of the message is Heartburn. You say that's something I deal with regularly. Yes, this is the kind that you want, though. That's the difference between those two, Luke chapter 24 in your Bibles, starting in verse 13 this morning. And I appreciate the good singing this morning. And we can look across our pews and we can see that summer really has hit with people away in different places. But thank the Lord for your faithfulness. And this is what I just say to people. When you're here, be here. And, when we go away and it's Sunday, we've already found a place to go and worship, because I might be on vacation, but it's still the Lord's day. And if you need help finding somewhere when you go away, please let me know. I'll be glad to try to help you with that. But there's a place we probably next year, our whole family goes down to Hilton Head Island probably next summer. And the church is Bible Baptist. That's where we go. And that's just part of it, and wherever we go. So I hope that you'll do that. If you do go away, that you'll still remember it's the Lord's day and give Him His time. Luke 24, verse 13 this morning, it says this. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are so sad?" In other words, he was saying, what are you guys talking about that's made you so sad? What is it that's going on? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Notice what it says there in verse 32. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Again, the title of the message is Heartburn. Heartburn is something that every one of us should experience. No doubt it is something everyone in our church should constantly have. Obviously, I'm not talking about the effects of eating tacos at 11 o'clock at night. What I'm talking about is, I'm not talking about acid reflux or any other gastrointestinal disorder. I'm talking about a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual condition that occurs in the presence of Jesus, and one that is so good that you never want to get rid of it. Other Christians will want to hear about it and to experience it for themselves, because it's a condition of excitement, of blessing, of understanding of what this life and hereafter are truly all about. You know, when a person is truly saved, there is a natural desire to want to hear the Word of God. I have shared before that when I first got saved, I remember going to church, and we went to a rather large church. It was a church that ran over 1,000. And so they had a lot of special music. They had choir specials. We sang. They had different things go on. And I am sitting there going, when do we get to the Word? Not that I don't enjoy music. It can bless my heart. It can do all those things. But I remember as a young Christian just wanting to hear the Word, because as much as music can build me and encourage me, there is nothing that will change me like the Word of God. Or you as well. Well, I guess some of us it will. When a person is walking with God, there is a further desire to obey the Word of God. It's when you're lost or backslidden that the Word means little or nothing. Take it or leave it. Our Sunday morning services need a little heartburn. Our prayer meetings need a little more heartburn. Our homes need a little more heartburn. Our hearts need it. This morning I wanted you to think about your life. Have you ever had it before? Are you even interested? Why do we even come to church if we're not looking for God to change our lives? And maybe that's the reason some people don't come. Again, if loving preaching and the word of God should come naturally from being saved. And if we don't feel that way, it's time that we woke up. It's time that we got excited. And it's time to get busy to Jesus. We come to this point and we jumped around the past couple weeks. We flipped things, but if you remember last week, it was coming out of the shadows, and we talked about Joseph of Arimathea, and even we saw in John 19 that Nicodemus also came out of the shadows, and I believe it was because of what Joseph of Arimathea had done. He had gone and asked for the body of Christ, thus identifying as one of his followers, and we went into all that. And then we found after that, which I actually preached 2 weeks ago, we found the women going to the tomb and not seeing Jesus. The two angels were in the sepulcher. Tell them, he's not here, he's risen. Of course, Peter and John ran, though that's not in the book of Luke, they ran there, and they saw it. And now Jesus is making an appearance. The first one that we find in the book of Luke. Okay, the first one we find here. And we find it to be a very interesting one. We find it because he goes to two people. What we know is the one's name is Cleopas. And the reason we know that is because Scripture tells us. Other than that, we don't know. But isn't it interesting when Jesus showed up in their lives? You know, it's everybody says, man, I need Jesus. Or, you know, we have a situation and we say, I need Jesus in my life. I need his help. I need his encouragement. I need his clarity. But what's interesting in this portion of Scripture is to find out where he did show up. I want you to notice the first thing in this is the conversation. And we find that in verses 14 to 24 here. They were talking, when Jesus asked them, now understand this, Jesus never asks a question that he doesn't know the answer to. He knows all things. But what it does, it reveals the hearts of man. Sometimes, as we've done this, we've looked at, I did a short series on questions that Jesus asked. See, sometimes the Bible will ask us questions that reveal our hearts. And usually we don't like what we see when those questions come. Do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? He said to Philip, he said, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed? Basically, how are we going to feed them? And then Andrew brought, and he said, here's a lad with loaves and fishes, but what are these among so many? See, the problem was, as we looked at Philip as one of the disciples, is he was the bean counter. He was always that guy that if the numbers didn't work out, well, then it was impossible. See, Jesus was revealing in their hearts their lack of faith. But here what he's doing is he is showing what was important to them. Okay, so he said to them in verse 17, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another? In other words, what are you talking about? And what is making you so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? In other words, everybody knew what happened. It's like, what are... did you just get here? You haven't heard what happened? You didn't hear about the crucifixion right before the Passover? You didn't hear about Jesus, who so many people had been following? And he said unto them, what things? For again, he already knows concerning Jesus of Nazareth. But we find here in this, it revealed several things. That they knew Jesus was a prophet of God. Notice it says concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. We also see that his words proved who he was. Okay, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word. So in other words, he just didn't say it, he backed it up. But see, Jesus, we also find out in verse 20, Jesus had been crucified by the rulers and the priests of the nations. Notice what it says. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, to have crucified him. Now you and I know they didn't kill Jesus. Jesus allowed himself. Because Jesus could have been easily delivered. Jesus was perfect humanity. That's the reason Jesus could be the sacrifice. And you and I could not be, because he was perfect. Jesus could have lived forever. And now he does live forever in heaven, but I'm talking about on earth. He could have never died, which was the intention God had of man, was it not? And they also understood, as so many of the other Jews did, they knew Jesus was to be the deliverer. But again, they thought, as we read again in the scripture here, they thought it was going to be over the Romans. They did not listen. They did not understand that would come later. when Jesus comes to rule and reign. And aren't you glad we'll be with him? I'm glad about that. And that he wasn't in the grave. So the conversation, they've told Jesus all these things. You see, there was a conflict in their hearts. They couldn't understand how Christ could die on the cross and be their king. Their king. That's one of the reasons they were so sad. And by the way, that's one of the conflicts the Jews still have today. But here they were. They said, we followed him. We thought he was the king of the Jews. We thought he was going to set up his kingdom. When in fact, at this point, the kingdom is set up in the hearts of every believer. But the physical kingdom will be set up when Jesus comes to rule and reign. Well, we go from conversation. Secondly, we go to explanation. Notice verses 25 to 27. It says, then he, being Jesus, said unto them, O fools. Jesus was such a nice preacher, wasn't he? He was so gentle. I lost my place at verse 25. And slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ opened up the scriptures and worked it all out. Perhaps he took them to Isaiah 53 and showed them the suffering Savior and Psalm 22 and different places like that. But he used the whole Old Testament. There's no doubt about it that that's what he did. We spent a year or so on Wednesday nights finding Jesus in the Old Testament because he's everywhere. This book, cover to cover, is about Jesus. That's what it's about. It was about the foreshadowing of Jesus and the need of him in the Old Testament. The New Testament is the fulfillment of Christ's coming, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then how we are to act until he comes again. That's what this is about, cover to cover. So what he's also doing is telling us that they also knew the Old Testament. Do you know the problem with these men? They didn't apply what they know. Do you know the problem with you and me? We don't apply what we know. What we know to be true is simply not applied tonight. So he explained, he wanted them to draw to their own conclusions that Jesus was the Messiah. He was teaching them, you're thinking wrong. And isn't that what the Bible does? Isn't that what it does? So many of you, you work in the world 5 days a week, 6 days a week. And they have a different way of thinking. And we come to church on Sunday morning. We come Sunday night. We come Wednesday night. We have adult Bible classes in children's Sunday school. Why? We have to think differently. We have to change. So he's explaining the same thing. It is what keeps us in serving him in tough times. It's what keeps us joyous in the midst of the heartache. The heartburn sees us through. When you spend time in the scripture, I read through one of the books of the Bible this past week devotionally. I'm probably going to bring it as a series, and what I'll do is usually, depending on the length of the book, I try to read a book at least 10 times before I start doing outlines of the book, because I want to have a real idea in my own heart of what that book says. And what was interesting is, even on Thursday, I was sitting in my office here and I was going over this book and the last chapter, a book I've read so many times, and I saw how it came together with a previous chapter of the same book. And all of a sudden, I'm marking my Bible and going back and everything, it was always there. And it was a help to me to understand something. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason we are frustrated, the reason we are fearful, the reason we are discouraged, the reason we struggle is because our noses are not in this book. Because if it was, we'd have hope. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we see the explanation. But the next thing we see here, thirdly, what we see here is the invitation. Look at verses 28 and 29. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made us as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. They said, you got to stay here, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. You know what heartburn desires? To spend more time with the Savior. That's what it teaches us. I mean, they used it as an excuse. Because once Jesus spends the time with them and opens their eyes, what do? They run and go and see the disciples. They just used it as an excuse. When is the last time? Some of you are just sitting here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And that ought to concern you. When is the last time that you were in the Word of God and you looked up at the clock and said, man, I wish I had more time? That's what's missing. That's what's missing in our lives. Is this book is foreign to us. The words of it, we wait till we come on Sunday to hear it. And by the way, thank God you're here. Praise the Lord that you're here. I'm honored. I am privileged that you would allow me to share the Word of God with you. I do not take that for granted, and I want you to know that. But if you only ate one meal a week, what would happen? There it is. And we come in, we're starving. We're not satisfied. We're not filled. They had an invitation. They're like, please tell us more. These fellows did not want Jesus to go. They were enjoying time so with him so much they didn't want it to end. When's the last time that happened to us? The reason he's not the priority he should be in many of our lives is because we don't know what it's like to be in his presence, to have literal communion with him, and that is not his fault. Jesus shows up where he is invited. Let me say that again. Jesus shows up where he is invited. We find that all through Scripture. To have it with him. That's what he wants. He wants you to invite him into your home. You, it's not just about coming to church. It's about your home. It's about you having your devotions. It's about you spending time listening to godly music, setting the tone in your home. That's what it's about. It's about recognizing his presence in everything we do, in the conversations that we have in our home. When did Jesus show up to them? When they were talking about him. Isn't that interesting? He showed up when they were talking about him. God wants us to have clarity in our lives. We won't understand everything because clearly we're not God. There are going to be difficult times that are come, but there is a settling. There is an understanding. There is a strengthening that comes by making him the priority in our homes. We spend time regardless. We have people who are here whenever the doors are open. And we have people here several times a week. And again, thank the Lord for all of that. But we're home more than we're here. So we see the invitation that was given. You listen, you start setting the tone in your home. You start seeking Him. You start getting in the Word. You're going to have heartburn pretty quick. Because God's going to become a bigger part of what you want. And the more you get, you know, it's just like my wife's fried chicken. The more I eat, the more I want. We see the conversation, the explanation. We see the invitation. Please stay, God. Don't leave. Without really knowing who they were. And then we see in verse 30, we see the application. Look at verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. Do you know what's really interesting? If you notice here, we find where the fellas were going. Okay, it says in verse 13, and two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus. Do you know that just 7 years ago, archaeologists determined with high likelihood that the town named Kirjath-Jearim is the town known as Emmaus in the New Testament? They found every reason to believe. Now, some of you, maybe that name of that term, of the name of the town, Kirjath-Jearim, means something. If not, let me explain something to you. This was a town about 7 miles west of Jerusalem. And what happened there was the town's claim to fame is that the Ark of the Covenant was housed in the hilltop dwelling of Abinadab. And it stayed there until David brought it back. Okay? What happened there was when Jesus met with them, he was breaking bread with them. What did he do with the disciples during the Last Supper? He broke bread with them. What did that signify? His body and his blood, right? So he's now breaking bread with them, but they are in Emmaus, or they are in Kirjath-Jearim, who at one time was known for the Ark of God being there. What did the Ark of God represent? The presence of God. Are you following me? So all of a sudden, all of this is coming together. Jesus showed them from Genesis through the Old Testament. He showed them himself. Then what do they do? Breaking bread was not simply eating. It was taking the Passover, which we now call communion or the Lord's Supper. He's saying, guess what? All that was pointing to in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, the suffering Savior chapter, and all those things, guess what they're pointing to? The breaking of the body, the shedding of the blood, which we are now, it was still the Passover, guys. And all of a sudden they go, there it is. It says that their eyes were opened. Now, God might have opened their eyes, but it was at that moment it happened. Heartburn. It's the application of the Word of God to me where I'm at. That's what he was doing, saying, all those things that you have read, this is how it applies to you. I am He. And every application that you and I need is taught in the pages of our Bible. The taking the situations. Here they were. They were distraught. They were upset because they didn't understand. And now Jesus takes the Bible, explains, but the key is he broke the bread with them. Do you understand that's the key to everything? Is that Jesus came to this earth to do one thing. The Son of Man in Luke 19:10 has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That he came and that he was going to, the gospel, that he lived, that he died, he was buried, and that he rose on the third day. That all of that applies to you and me. In every situation, it shows us that nothing is impossible. It shows us in our darkest times that he is there and that the power, the Bible tells us that we are kept by the power of God. It was the power of God that raised him from the dead. And I have a feeling that if he can raise us from the dead, he can take care of every other situation that we have in our lives. But it has to do with the application. It's one thing to hear the word of God. It's another thing to apply it. But it's always going to come back to Jesus. I want you to finally see this. I want you to see the revelation in verses 31 to 35. I want you to see the revelation in verses 31 to 35. It says, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and then that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. See, that's when it happened. Jesus opened their eyes. He had kept himself a mystery, but now was revealed. Could you imagine what that must have been like? I think we can. And here's why I say that. When we open the Word of God and it comforts us, it encourages us, it clears our vision of how to respond, when it meets a need, that's exactly what Jesus did. He took it and they looked and said, it makes sense now. And isn't it interesting? What's the first thing they did? Is they ran and told a group who didn't know. A group that was scared to death. Huddled up in that room. A group that had lost all hope because they had gained hope. When God speaks to you in Scripture and in prayer and in times, that's the Holy Spirit showing up in your life. He reveals Himself to us as often as we allow Him to. Let me say that again. He reveals Himself to us as often as we allow Him to. See, it's the same with everyone. There are two types of revelation, and we're going to learn this coming up real soon on Wednesday nights when we're going to study how we got our Bible, and we're going to study God, and we're going to be looking at these things. But there are two types of revelation. There's general revelation, okay? General revelation is how God showed. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. That's general revelation. In other words, I can look outside and and look at the beautiful trees and say, no, God created them. I can know there's a God. Listen, and I know there's a God of order. How do I know this? Because I know how hot July and August are going to be in Surrey County. And I know that eventually it's going to cool down. Maybe not as much as I want it to, but it will cool down. And then come about end of February or March, it's going to warm up again and start warming up and warming up and warming up and warming up. It's general revelation. Okay, there is order. I know I can look on my phone and see what time the sun is going down today. How in the world? God is a God of order. I can go when I want to go out in my kayak here in the next few weeks and find out when the high tide is and find out when it's coming in. Well, how can I do that? God is a God of order. Listen. So there's general revelation, but then there is specific revelation about Him, about certain things that come with knowing Him. Okay, what I'm saying to you today is this. Revelation, we can know there's a God, but it doesn't become personal until we apply it to our lives. You know, they went in the dark about 7 miles. Very dangerous because the news couldn't wait. They had to share what they had seen and heard because they had the truth. Do you remember when you first got saved? I remember getting saved as a 23-year-old, not understanding much of it at all, just I knew I was saved. And I remember calling my grandfather, who had prayed for me for 23 years to be saved. I called a guy from the fraternity I had been in at University of Maryland, who right before I got in the fraternity had gotten saved. He was known as the wildest man in the fraternity house. And I was in a pretty wild one. I always tell people, when you think of fraternities, that's the one I was a part of. Whatever you're thinking, that was mine. Every bit of it, probably more. This guy got saved. His name is Rich Hyde. And Rich got saved. And he tried to give me the gospel. I'm like, I was always kind to him. But I'm like, I'm not here for that. But I got saved. And I hunted him down and I called him. I remember sharing with a friend and messing up the gospel so bad. At the same time, it did something in his heart that about 6 months later or so, I got to lead him to Christ. It was so profound. It was everything that I needed. So as he revealed himself to them, they revealed him to those who needed it. When I share the gospel with someone, here's what I know. That regardless of their situation, Christ has the answer. Doesn't matter. You don't know what I'm going through. Really, don't need to. But I do know who has the answer. Every area in life that we struggle with can find victory in Christ if we will simply access that victory. The fear can go away. The inferiority that you feel, the insecurity that's in your life, the addiction that is a part of your life, the whatever it is that's going on, Christ has the answer. Christ is the answer. Today, I truthfully, simply want to invite us to get the heartburn that's the good kind, the kind that only comes from really knowing Jesus. You might be saved today, but you know you don't know Him. It's one thing to know Him as Savior, it's another thing to know Him. He's not the priority in your life that He should be. You've not had a conversation like this with Him, or it's been a long time. You might come to prayer meetings, but there's little, if any, intimacy. The truth is, you just really don't know Him. And the incredible thing is, He's so knowable. We're told that the depths of knowledge of God, that His ways are past finding out. And that only makes sense, because we will never know everything about God, because He's God. But I can know more. And you know what I find? The more that I know, the more I love Him. The more He helps me. I was reading a book. I was telling you about the book of the Bible that I'm probably going to preach from. And these were people who had not heard the Bible for a long time. You know what I noticed? When a man got up and preached the Word of God and they heard it, how they responded. It was incredible. Because they hadn't heard it, or they hadn't heard it in such a long time. You and I, we look at people who are on fire for Jesus and we say, they're crazy. You know, they're nuts. Well, I can say this. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. That I can say. Instead of looking at somebody who's excited about Jesus, who spends time, wants to talk about it, who's sharing, instead of seeing them as crazy, maybe that's the normal Christian life. It comes because of heartburn. It comes from spending time with Him as He reveals Himself to us, as we spend more time in His Word and spend more time in prayer, He becomes more real. We learn more. I've been in the ministry over 30 years, and I can tell you this week, I could enumerate some of the truths that I have gathered this week that I didn't have before. And by the way, it didn't come from commentaries. Though I used them, it didn't come from commentaries. It came from the Word. So we can go on living this life and wondering why we read what we read about the Christian life in the Bible, and we don't have it. We hear testimonies of God working and giving victory, and we look at it and we say, that's not me. We hear the comfort that passes all understanding in difficult times, and we wish we could experience it as if it's exclusive, when in fact, it's waiting for us in the Word. It's waiting for us. That's why Jesus opened up the Scriptures. It was all about Him. And He revealed Himself to us. So let me give you a few truths here and we'll be done. Number one, how do you define the quality of your life? How do you define it? Do you define it by things? Do you define it by other people? Or do you define it by your walk with God? How do you define it? These men's lives went from defeated to victorious simply because they had the scripture explained to them and their eyes were open. How do you define the quality of your life? America defines it by comfort. Even good people will define it by their family. And surely, if your family's doing well, you're doing better. Don't misunderstand me. I understand that. But the quality of our life should be defined by our walk with God. Secondly, are you pursuing Christ? Are you pursuing Him? Are you intentionally trying to know Him better? Are you intentionally drawing closer to Him? Because if it's not intentional, it's not going to happen. Do you realize there were people last night who had no idea whether they were coming to church or not? No idea. It was just if the mood would hit them. And here's what I can promise you. We have an enemy who made sure the mood wasn't. No, pursuing Christ is intentionally. I will intentionally get up to read my Bible if that's the only time. It's going to be intentional, or I will carve out time for Him. I will intentionally do that, because if I don't, it will never happen. I will intentionally give. How many times do people walk by that box and they'll give less to Jesus than they will to the waitress at Morelia's? Are you pursuing Him? They didn't realize they were pursuing Him, but they were talking about Him. And they were talking about the situation He showed up. And then let me ask you this. Are you revealing Christ? That is the natural response of heartburn. It's the natural response that I've been with Him, that I want to reveal Him. And I reveal Him several ways. I will reveal Him in my walk. I will reveal Him in the way I live my life. It's my life changing. By the way, there's no way you can draw closer to Him without it changing your life. But you just have to make some decisions. You have to stop the craving of being accepted by worldly people. The desire to be accepted and be wanted by people who want nothing to do with Jesus. Are you revealing Him in your personal walk? Are you revealing Him with your voice? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you inviting people? Are you doing your part? Heartburn. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have it, you know, there are certain foods that give me heartburn. You probably have them too. And sometimes I look at them, I'll see the food, and you know what I say to myself? It's worth it. I'll deal with it. Sandy just bought me a brand new thing of Tums. I'll deal with it because it's worth the price. That food is worth it. You're smart. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know you're going to pay the price. To have the right kind of heartburn, there's a price too. It's your time. It's your desires. It's your obedience. But the outcome, those two guys on the Emmaus Road were never the same. And we won't be either. You know what? I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be. How about you?